Have a guest joining us by phone this morning. Becky Bell Greenstreet joins us this morning on the phone. She's on the road getting herself ready for what she hopes will be a very big Sunday coming up this weekend, September 16th. Becky, good morning.
Good morning, Jim. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Well, you've got to be pretty excited anytime you get a chance to visit about your family.
Well, we know that there are a lot of folks still in Iowa alive and well and still very, very fond of Al Bell. One reason we know that is because of the Facebook page I Remember Al Bell that was put up by Renee Barkema a couple of years ago. She's from Belmont. And 2 years ago, we did our first film festival in Stewart. 300 people came.
Wow.
But on that Facebook page, there were over 3,000 people who responded, Jim.
Wow.
Yes. Now, why is he so important? You're probably too young to remember Al Bell, I bet.
Well, and I'm not from this particular area of the state, and it sounds like he was well-known around here.
Yes, he was. He actually traveled to over 400 schools in Iowa every year, the smaller schools particularly, because he wanted young Iowa school children to find out about the world in an exciting way instead of from a boring geography book. And my mom and he traveled all over the world for 30 years taking 16-millimeter movies, and they would make up an assembly program, which they took to the schools. My mom joined my dad, actually, in the 70s, but they started out in 1949. And they traveled to Alaska the first year, and my dad came back and got in touch with as many superintendents as he could and principals. And they started that way, actually on a shoestring, with this wonderful career that my parents had. It was really neat for anybody who's a young person looking for a career. My dad took the three loves of his life. Number one was photography. He got through college taking photographs of people and candid shots and lovers at the proms and things like that. And his love for travel. He wanted to see the world. And he was in radio, like you are. He was a big personality, just wonderful entertainer. And so he put those three loves together and said, you know, I'll get to travel the world and see the world, and I'll come back and share it with school children.
You know, it's one thing to go out and shoot the video and things, but it's another thing to, and then send out the video, but it's another thing to actually travel with the video and go out and do that personally. That had to add a lot to it.
Oh, absolutely. Especially because my folks would bring back costumes, and they would wear the costumes of the country they had visited. They would teach the kids some foreign words and phrases, and they did a lecture, a 20-minute lecture before the film, in which they told all kinds of entertaining and scary anecdotes. And scary, by scary, I mean they really did run into some real-life adventures. On the road, being in Kenya, Africa, with a broken-down car, and a pride of lions came up around the car and even stood on top of this little VW bus. Things like my dad being bitten by a rabid sled dog in Alaska. So anyway, they just had a wonderful career, and they wanted to share that with school kids. And they were extremely popular for many, many years.
You must have had some wild vacations growing up.
Yes, indeed, we did, and they weren't really vacations. I always try to redefine the kind of travel trip that my dad had to take, because everything was dependent on that film. So instead of playing games in the car, we were on the lookout for moose and bear and any kind of animal and beautiful scenes, and, oh, there's a snow-capped mountain. However, the kids, there are four of us, we did not travel with them every year. We never went abroad in those years. So they would take us every other year when they could drive. And we would camp out in a tent in the early years, and we slept in the car on some of these trips, like in Alaska. So it was a good family kind of thing, but the priority was those films. And my dad would just make sure that we knew that came first, because that was our bread and butter. Yes, a fun anecdote from Alaska in 1959. They actually went twice, the first one in 49 and then 10 years later in 59. My little brother and I were along for that trip, and we had not eaten all day long because Daddy kept going from one spot to another. You know, oh, there are doll sheep. That's what they're called, doll sheep up the road, the mountain goats. And over here are some grizzly bears. And so we were just driving from locale to locale, getting all this photography done. And by 9 o'clock at night, we pulled into a little old cafe hoping for a hamburger. And the lady said, all I have left is cherry pie. And my little brother looked at me and said, some breakfast. So, yes, we had gobs of adventures. What a blessing to grow up with such exciting people. It was just fun and educating, and my dad was so funny. He was just a wonderful entertainer.
You know, really a pioneer when you think about it. When you look at the way cable television is now with a lot of these different types of reality-style programming, Animal Planet and History Channel, different places like that have so many different programs focusing on just the world around us. Really, he was ahead of his time.
Oh, yes. And today, as you say, you know, kids can just flip a switch and see scenes from all over the world and wildlife from all over the world. But back then, especially in rural Iowa, people didn't really travel that much. Families might take their vacations to the Black Hills, occasionally California. But most of the folks, you know, just would go up to Lake Okoboji or they'd go down to the Ozarks. So his window of travel just opened up new worlds for hundreds of thousands of children.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about the event coming up this Sunday, September 16th. It'll be at the Saints Center for Culture and the Arts in Stuart, and it doors will open at noon. They'll show one of the films at 1 o'clock. What all will happen that day?
Well, we have exhibits that we'll set up of lots of artifacts of my folks that they collected from all over the world. We have costumes, authentic costumes from the countries that my dad and mom wore, and some foreign dolls. We have original posters of the programs. So we have a lot of fun things. And then my siblings and I, the four of us, will answer questions and share memories beforehand. So to get into the hall, just to see the exhibits and to meet us and talk with us, is just a dime, and that's kind of a sentimental token toward the past when it used to cost a dime to get into an Al Bell show. Afterwards, the films are downstairs, and you'll be seeing, we have a whole new raft of DVDs. It's an entire Al Bell film library on DVD. Very exciting. 28 movies, which are chronologically packaged. Four films to a DVD, and there are 7 DVDs in all. So those folks who really, really loved Al Bell, if they want to get the entire library, they will be able to do that.
Well, that's great. A chance to walk down memory lane a little bit.
Absolutely, yes. We have a map, and so people can put a pin where they're from. We love to see, you know, where everybody's from. 2 years ago, people ranged from way up near the Minnesota border, way over to the northeast corner, and just all over. And southern Iowa particularly, the south central part. Of course, that's a little closer to Stuart, but I got to see a lot of my old friends from Menlo. That's lots of fun. So anybody who remembers us from those days, please come on down.
Why, since you never get tired of hearing stories that people have about your folks.
Oh, heavens no. We love to hear those stories. It means so much to us. And one of the fun things that we get to hear from men, grown-up men, when they were little boys, my dad needed help carrying his equipment. And so there were always a few boys waiting for my dad to pull up, and they'd carry equipment in, and the first boy who volunteered, Daddy would always call him George. And those little boys who are now men probably didn't realize that, but maybe it'll ring a bell to some of them.
Well, when they come and watch a couple of these films, what they're probably going to see is maybe something they remember from their youth, a film that they've seen before.
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, one of the most fun things that happened 2 years ago was when the film starts, there is a big bell that used to be at a friend's house near Earlham. And he had that bell begin every movie, and it's ringing and dinging, and as soon as the film opened to that bell ringing, everybody in the audience laughed and applauded. It was so neat, just very, very heartwarming. It'll be a great time. I know from 2 years ago, we just talked and talked and talked and listened and listened, and everybody went home just as happy and with big hearts.
You bet. Sunday, September 16th, this Sunday coming up. Again, that's doors opening at noon, and the first film will be shown at 1 o'clock at the Saint Center for Culture and the Arts in Stuart. Now, if you'd like to know more information or to guarantee yourself a spot, because there are only so many tickets, you can get a hold of the folks at White Pole Road by getting on the web at www.whitepoleroad.com. And all the proceeds from the film festival and any general donations they receive there will be used to help defray the cost of those film transfers. Old 16mm over onto DVD, it's not the easiest thing in the world, is it?
No, it isn't. It has taken quite a long time because that film was so brittle. And sometimes the sound was put on in different ways in those days. One year my dad used a magnetic tape, and that was a real challenge for the film laboratory to work with.
Boy, I bet it was. Well, Becky, again, thanks for your time here today, and best of luck. We hope you have a great time reminiscing on Sunday.
Thank you so much, Jim, and I look forward to seeing everybody who can get down there to see us.